Hey everyone, welcome to God's Plan, Your Part, Year 2, where this year we're reading through and studying the entire New Testament, one chapter at a time. Thanks again for joining us in discovering God's plan and your part in it. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we are in John chapter 17. And as I was reading this chapter today with Ryan, I instantly thought, as an educator, I think back to like the beginnings of the school year when we would get our roster of all of our students. And typically what I would do at the beginning of the year is just pray for each of my students, thinking about like, how God can I invest in them? How can I help shape them spiritually while they are under my care, while I'm shepherding them in my classroom? And today when we're reading chapter 17, like this idea of shepherding and ownership of this flock really came to mind, and it brought me back to my teacher days. But Jesus is being shown as this high priest, and like this responsibility that a high priest would have had before like giving a sacrifice for the people. He's kind of like coming to God in prayer and saying, like, these people are mine, and like this is what I've done. I want you to protect them as we continue to move forward in your plan. So it's interesting the correlations that we'll see across this chapter today as Jesus is strictly just praying to God before these next events unravel.
This is a fairly short chapter, but it is not one that you should overlook. So definitely make sure you take the time to read it for yourself or listen to us read it, because I think John 17 is very powerful, especially when you recognize that the first half is basically about Jesus praying kind of over his immediate disciples. He actually talks about, this is in verse, let me see, it's in verse 12-ish. He says, "I have guarded them and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that scripture might be fulfilled." So it's clear that he's talking about his immediate disciples and the fact that Judas has left. But eventually he actually expands the group. If you look at verse 20, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That is Jesus praying for all believers throughout all time. So it is important to know and to remember that Jesus actually prayed on your behalf for you. Like, it's actually pretty powerful to think about.
So I really like a lot of the wording that is used throughout this chapter, throughout this prayer. So Jesus is actually just like talking to God about the things that he has done for this flock, for this this group of sheep, essentially. So in verse 6, it says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world." So all of those people, he's manifested God's name. Verse 8, "I've given them the words that you gave me." And then he begins to like, on their behalf, those people that he has given these things to, he starts to ask God, like, please, in verse 11, keep them in your name. Verse 12, "I have kept them in your name. I have guarded them. So, like, please keep them from the evil one." So it's so interesting, this picture again for me, where we think about the high priest. What the high priest's job was to do was to go into the most holy of holies, ask for forgiveness for the people, offer the sacrifices for the people's sins. And this was like a special job that only one very specific person could do. And now here Jesus is following that very same type of order of events to do the very same thing for all humanity, basically to offer that sacrifice for sin, which would be himself saying, like, I've done this so that they know who you are. Now I'm willing to offer myself for their protection, for their forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a powerful prayer. And you can see that Jesus is kind of, it's impossible to look at this prayer and think that everybody makes it, to think that everybody's honoring Christ. He actually talks about how he has like protected the people, how those that were following him, if you look in verse 16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth." Sanctify is a word we don't use a ton anymore, but it's this idea that we become more and more holy as God is holy. It's not something that happens immediately. Salvation happens immediately. Like, when you trust Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you have salvation immediately in an instant. But sanctification happens like over time as you shed sin, as you shed the things that keep you separate from Christ, you are more and more sanctified so that you are looking like and acting more and more like Christ every day. So it's even interesting here that Jesus is praying that we would be sanctified, that we would honor him more and more.
And after that crazy thing, like in verse 18, right after the sanctification part, it says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And then verse 19, and for their sake, I consecrate myself that they may also be sanctified in truth. So like typically when this would be going down, when the sacrifices were being made, some kind of animal would be put in place for the sacrifices of sin. Jesus is actually saying, like, I'm giving myself here so that they too can experience that same sanctification.
And this is like the night of his betrayal, the night of his arrest. Like, this is, it's very obvious to Jesus that his time has come. The end is very near to him. And so you can see that some of the last thoughts on his mind anticipating what's coming is for his immediate disciples and for those that would come to follow him afterwards. Probably my most favorite verse in this chapter is verse 20. He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Like, he's praying for us, already talked about that. But what specifically did he pray for us? Read the next part of the verse, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. This is powerful, and it's also a little bit convicting, because Jesus prays that all believers would be one. That means united. That means together. That means like on mission with one purpose, with one spirit, one baptism. And think about Paul writes like that in one of his later letters. The idea is that all of us who believe in Christ would be serving together, unified in our mission. And I think that the thing that's convicting about it is probably one of the most obvious things about Christian churches in our time, context, and culture, is that we're not very unified, and that there's like 500,000 different flavors and teachings, and some people will say something is sinful, but other people will say something is not sinful. I was just this past Sunday, I was kind of wrestling through some of this stuff, and I was talking to Jenny about how it's weird that just in our town, you could go to one church that would teach you one thing, and that is not, like, it would not be a true thing. And everybody in that church would leave feeling like they have been taught something meaningful, even though it's not true. And on the other side of town, people would be taught that what the other church is teaching is not true, and they would leave wanting to confront that. And we're all in the same town. Like, we're all believing different things. We all claim Christ, but we're all on very opposite sides of the spectrum. I think there's a lot of room for growth here. And it gets overwhelming, actually. Like, it gets really overwhelming. Like, how would we ever accomplish that at this point? And I think I'm just reminded of with man, this is not possible. With Christ, all things are possible.
Yeah, I think putting it into perspective of that is really helpful, because it is so defeating to think of oneness, even across, like, what I believe so firmly and what someone else that's, you know, the next neighborhood over that heard something so very different. Mm-hmm. Is like, oh, it can be really, I don't know, disheartening.
And just because it's disheartening doesn't mean we should pursue like reconciliation and restoration, that we can be made into one, because Jesus prayed that we would be one. And actually, Paul later on is going to teach very much so that the people of the church should be one. We should not be separate. We should not serve different personalities. We should not serve different pulpits. We should serve Christ and Christ alone. And the only way to know that you're serving Christ alone is to know what his commandments are, to know what he taught, to know what he expected of his own disciples. The only way you can do that is to study his word and know what it says. One final little piece that I want you to see for sure. If you look at verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. This is Jesus again. Like, Jesus is claiming to be God all over this chapter, but here he's claiming to have existed before the foundations of the world. Here Jesus is basically teaching the fact that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed before all time together as the Trinity, before the foundations of the world. Paul's going to use that language in Ephesians 2 to say that we have been chosen to walk in good works that he has planned for us before the foundations of the world. I think Paul choosing that language is intentional, but this is an important piece to catch, because it actually shapes our theology of who God is. Here, Jesus is saying clearly he existed before the foundations of the world, and we can infer from that the Trinity existed before the foundations of the world, and we can trust that God is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So I think just to wrap up today's episode, I think the your part for today is really just to be encouraged that just like the teacher that is praying over their class at the beginning of the year, praying that God will continue to like reveal himself in ways that that teacher can really impact them for eternity. Just remember that Jesus has, he's prayed over you even before he was going to be betrayed and before he was going to be given over to death, even before the beginning of the world. Like, he has already been praying for you, not only to know him, but also to be one. So I would encourage you today, like, you have been thought of for a very long time, and you were destined to not only know God and know his word, but also to be one with the people around you who believe in God and love his word just as much as you do. So just be encouraged by that today as you are going about your day. And we really appreciate you going along with us today. It's a shorter chapter, so do take time to listen to it. This prayer is truly like not only just a prayer to God, but a prayer over us as well. So be encouraged by listening to it and from the words that we've talked about today. We'll be back again tomorrow for John chapter 18. Thanks for joining today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. As always, please consider partnering with us as we are a listener-supported podcast that we hope to continue to grow with support from listeners just like you.
We've made it super easy to partner with us, and you can support us by following the link in our show notes or our description. You can support us with as little as $3 a month.
Every little bit of this helps so much, and we're so thankful for your support. With that in mind, here's today's reading.
John chapter 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. All this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know the truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and I loved them, even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may may be in them and I in them. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of God's Plan, Your Part. Don't forget, you can find us on just about every social media platform and YouTube. Let us know what you thought of today's episode, and if you have any questions, go ahead and post them there. You can also reach out to us directly at godsplanyourpart@gmail.com. As always, if you don't have a Bible, or if you'd like to use the one that we use, reach out to us via email and we'll be happy to send one to you. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again tomorrow.